When I came here, we were meeting in the other building. I think we had 44 people and one young couple. But anyway, the Lord blessed. And some great things happened. We had a great time. I think we ran about 140 kids in Awana at the time. And it was a great time for Awana because they didn't have all the Little League stuff and all those other things going on. So it's really a great opportunity. And years afterwards, I may be walking through town for one reason or another when we came over to visit, and some kid had come up to me and say, "Pastor Jensen, remember me in Awana?" Yeah, they probably remembered me better than I remember them. By the way, this is not part of the potluck. I'm glad of that. Well, graduation is a great time, isn't it? We're all, it seems like, all through life are graduating from one thing or another. But high school is very important. And, of course, all of the decisions that we make before, during, and after high school are so important. Major decisions that we have to make. I can remember when I graduated, college was the last thing in my mind, but the Lord had some other ideas. So I got saved in the military while I was in the Air Force, and then after I got out, I thought, you know, I should go to college. Well, for one thing, we wanted to serve the Lord. I got saved in the Air Force, as I said, so we wanted to serve God, so we decided to go to Multnomah School of the Bible. That was one of our major choices. And we had a little daughter was about, Susan was about 3 months old, and we had an old Ford and a little 4x8 trailer and $200. And we headed for college. Crazy, huh? But anyway, the Lord provided, and we made it through college, and we took a church in Oregon, in the Blue Mountains down by La Grande, and I decided to go on to college, get a teacher certificate. So we did that. And the amazing thing is, the funds in that little country church weren't too huge, but the Lord helped us through those days of college, and we had some children along the way, and I had to work part-time, so it took me a little longer than just the normal 3 years. It took me about 4 years because of work and children and family and everything. But the amazing thing is, when I graduated in 1967 from Eastern Oregon College after going through Multnomah and then Eastern Oregon, we didn't owe anybody anything. Everything was paid. The Lord provides, right? And that's what it was. It was the Lord providing for us, the Lord taking care of us, and I'm thankful that I made the choices to serve the Lord and to be in the pastorate. It's been a wonderful experience. It's been a great experience. We were in Oregon, then we came here, and then we went to Seattle. And every one of those churches has been a great blessing to us. So I thank God for it. I wanted to talk about a graduation today by a man named Lazarus. Do you ever remember hearing of him? The rich man and Lazarus. It's in Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning at about verse 19, and through the rest of the chapter. Let's read a couple of those verses. Jesus said there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed and lived each day in luxury. At his door lay a diseased beggar named Lazarus. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead. There is torment. There in torment he saw Lazarus in the far distance with Abraham. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in anguish in these flames." But Abraham said to him, Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted. Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. Anyone who wanted to come across over to you from here is stopped at the edge, and no one from there can cross over to us. So it's an interesting passage about choices, about persons' futures, and the big graduation, the graduation for Lazarus. You know, what we do in this life has a lot to do with eternity, has a lot to do with what's going to happen in eternity, what we're going to have in eternity. The choices we make now affect not only our life now, but greatly affect our future, greatly affect our eternity. Our eternity is shaped with the choices we make now. So it's very important how you choose. And it seems like increasingly we see a generation that makes a lot of bad choices, makes a lot of poor choices. And that's vital because choices are so important. So here's two men in the book of Luke who make choices. They made choices all of their lives, and their choices are critical to what happened to them. One of the men was wealthy. One of the men was very rich. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There are a lot of rich people that are fantastic in their caring and their sharing. It's not being rich that's the problem. It's what people do with it. It's how it affects their lives. And here was a man who was consumed and controlled by his wealth. That's the problem. Consumed and controlled by his wealth. R.G. Letourneau was a very wealthy man. He built a huge machinery and equipment. And he gave to the Lord a lot, and he got to where he gave more and more to the Lord. He started with giving 10%, and he didn't know what to do with the 90% he had left. And he ended up giving 90% to the Lord, and he didn't know what to do with the 10% he had left. The man was very wealthy. So there are a lot of wealthy people. There are a lot of rich people that are greatly used by the Lord that have a tremendous outlook on life. But not this man, and not people who are consumed and controlled by what they have. And you don't have to be wealthy to be consumed and controlled by it. People that have very little can be consumed and controlled by what they do have. Someone said, a man all wrapped up in himself makes a pretty small package. So we don't want to get wrapped up in ourselves. We want to get wrapped up in people. We want to get wrapped up in the Lord. We want to get wrapped up in opportunities that the Lord gives us. Just think about it. It's not selfish people that impact our lives. It's people that give. It's people that are givers that affect our lives for good. It's not the selfish people that impact us for good. They impact us other ways. It's the good people. It's the givers that impact our lives. So whatever God gives you, share with others. God wants us to share. The proverb says there is a person that makes himself poor and yet hath great riches. Be poor in the sight of other people. Let us be a giver in the sight of other people. There is that makes himself poor and yet has great riches. There is that makes himself rich and yet has nothing. Those are vital choices. What will we do with what we have? It may not be a whole lot. That's not the key. It's what we do with what we do have. There are certain priorities that are very important. You see that here with the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had no concern for Lazarus. Here was a poor man. Here was a man that was hurting. Here was a man who had nothing. And the rich man had everything. He had ample opportunity to do something for this fellow. But he didn't care. He wasn't concerned. He was just wrapped up in himself. He had no time for God or man. The scripture says, what should it profit a man, though, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What is really important in this life? Think about that, graduates, as you go out into whatever your choices are, whatever God has for you. What is really important in this life? What should it profit if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul? There was a young fellow named Borden. You probably have heard of the Borden Foods Company, Borden's products. And this young man was going to have all that given to him. That was going to be his future. And he said, no, that's not for me. That would be some choice, wouldn't it? I mean, if you knew you could have a fortune, what would your choice be? Would you take it? Well, there wouldn't be anything wrong with taking it. But Borden wanted to go to the mission field. He wanted to be a missionary. So he gave up the Borden fortune to go to the mission field. And I think he only lasted about a year or two, and he died there. Is that a bad choice? No. He chose to serve the Lord, and the rest of it was in God's hands. But where is he now? And he couldn't take the Borden fortune with him, but he could take the fortune of the Lord with him. You know, and the world would look at it and say he was a fool. He made a bad choice. He could have had all that, and he gave it up. No, he didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a bad choice. He's rich now, richer than he ever could have been with the little bit of pennies he got down here. He's rich in the Lord. Remember, there's only one life, and it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So there's two men, two choices, two destinies, verse 22 to 25. Paradise or Hades? Our English translations translate Hades as hell, but actually that is just that, an English translation. There's no literal word hell in the Bible. It's Hades or Gehenna or those things. So there's two destinies. Paradise is one of them, Abraham's bosom, and the others, I said, is Hades. Paradise was a place of comfort. Lazarus, who suffered on earth, is now comforted. He had nothing on earth. He was a beggar. He was in pain. The dogs licked his sores. And we still have multitudes of people on earth today who have nothing. And a lot of people on earth who have nothing but pain. Nothing but problems. But now he has everything. And now the rich man has nothing. Which would you rather have? A lot of stuff down here for a few years and nothing in eternity? Or would you rather have maybe less down here, a lot less down here compared to some people, but have eternity with God? Where are the true riches? That's a good thing to think about as you graduate. Where are the true riches? What do I really want to do with my life? I can remember when I got out of the Air Force after 4 years. My wife was raised as a Christian. She grew up as a Christian as a child, and I was saved while I was in the Air Force. But when we got ready to get out of the Air Force, we asked ourselves, what are we going to do? What are our choices going to be? Here it is before us. Now what do we do? And we looked at each other. We said, you know what? The Lord saved us. why don't we serve the Lord? I don't regret that. I never will regret that. That was a choice. That was a vital choice. A difficult choice in some ways, because as I said, we had a small child, we had an old car, we had $200. But if the Lord wants you to get training in that way, whatever the training might be, He will provide. If that's His will, I can say God will provide. He provided for us. Remember, paradise after the resurrection was moved to heaven. Jesus, after the resurrection, moved paradise to Himself and to heaven. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, but now paradise is in the presence of God. It's at the right hand of God. Remember, Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He's moved to the presence of God. Well, the rich man finds himself in Hades. Remember, Lazarus had set at his gate, also translated porch in one place. But the rich man kept Lazarus out. Now God is keeping the rich man out. Unbelievers sit outside the gate of heaven. They will not come into the presence of God. But we need to ask ourselves as well, who sits at the gate of our life? There were no doubt a lot of other people that this rich man could have influenced, that this rich man could have helped, that this rich man could have done something for, and he didn't. Who sits at the gate of our life, asking, praying, weeping? Do we share? God gives to us to share. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." So it doesn't matter. We may not have a lot, but there are people who have less. Believe it or not, there are people who have less. And God wants to use us. He wants to share with us. God is a giver. He is an abundant giver. In fact, He wants to do to us above all we could ask or think. God is a marvelous giver. But He wants to give so we can share with others. He's going to give to us so we can share. He's going to give to us and use us to share with others, to minister to those in need. Isn't it true that opportunity sits at the gate of our life? And for the rich man, he could care less. He wanted to form his own opportunities. He didn't care what opportunities would come about for other people or what opportunities God might have for him. But just remember, in God, in Christ, opportunity sits at the door of your life. What could you do? Graduates, what could you do to take those opportunities that God has put at the door of your life and share them with somebody else? You could be a doctor, you could be all kinds of work that God could use you to do, to minister and share with other people, to help other people. So think about it that way. There are people sitting at the door of your life. How can God use you to minister to them? How can God use you to share? We can pray, we can give, we can go. You know, we're part of the body. We're supposed to share the body of Christ. But we need to share with one another. We need to share with people. We need to pray for people. We need to give. We need to share the good things of the Lord. Perhaps with an Awana program or a youth program or missions. with your neighbors, with your family. I was thinking about the church that we go to now in Seattle. It's about this size. And we have about 5 missionaries represented from that church. You know, there's a church that cares about people, that ministers to people, that helps people. We had a guy come there that got turned around with the Lord, and he got his life straightened around with the Lord, and he took some training, and he taught some classes at the church. He taught the youth for a while, and then he went into being a chaplain. There was opportunity there as he came in the door of the church, and as people cared about him, and as people shared with him, and people ministered to him, and of course he ministered back to us in the sharing with the youth and so on. But now the man is out ministering to multitudes of men and women as a chaplain. It can happen in any church. Doesn't matter the size, doesn't matter how many people, it's what's in our hearts. If we can be givers, if we can share with people, if we can train people and help people and teach people about being givers, that's what the rich man missed it. Somebody evidently didn't give him the right training in life to realize, hey, you know what, buddy? There's more to life than you. Isn't it amazing how God uses people that care and share to minister to us? Can you think about all the people in your life that have touched you one way or another because they're givers? And maybe you sat at their gate and they said, here, take this, have this, do this. I remember a fellow one time, a number of years ago, when I was here in Wenatchee, bought me a really nice hunting rifle with a scope on it. He didn't have to do that. But the interesting thing was, a number of years later, I said to him, remember that rifle and that really nice rifle and with a scope on it that you bought me? And he said, I didn't ever buy you any rifle. How could he forget? I never forget. I'll never will forget. But he had forgotten all about it. You know, he was a giver. He didn't really care about being honored in it or, you know, remembering it for years and years. He just did it, and he was glad to do it. And he blessed me, and he got blessed. I'm sure he got blessed. But there's so many opportunities for us to give and to share and to minister and to pray and to help. Randy was one of those results of that. And of course, Susan and John, our daughter, is a result of many people sharing in her life. And they're connected with our church over there. We have a couple named the Moleseys. They have 4 children, 4 boys. Great people. Taught our youth group there at the Seattle Church, South Center Community Baptist Church. Just were such givers. I mean, a family with 4 children. He went to seminary. She's a doctor. Giving people. Now they're over in France learning the French language because they're going to Togo. She's going to work in a hospital in Togo. People that came out of our church in Seattle, Randy, the Moleseys, the Phillips. They're over in France helping to translate materials into French so the French-speaking people can hear the gospel of Christ. So you know, out of our churches, out of our groups, out of your life, out of those that you touch, out of those that you share with, may go to the uttermost part of the world. Who knows how many lives they'll touch? But be a part of a giver. They sit at our gate. Do we care? Do we love? that we share? Do we communicate the things of God with them? Who knows where they will go or what they will do if we just take some time to let God love us and then love them with the love that God spreads through our heart. I'm a pastor, and I've been a pastor for 50 years, over 50 years. But why did that all happen? Because there were so many people that were givers that cared that I sat at their gate, and they were willing to minister to me. And you have a multitude of people just like that, don't you? Relatives, neighbors, friends, associates, but they're givers. They care. So, share, care, minister. I thought of a very unusual illustration of this giving and caring and sharing. That's David and Mephibosheth. Remember that? Mephibosheth is something about his injury, because he was lame on his feet. And there was a war or a battle or something, the people heard about it, and whoever was ministering to this child dropped him. And he was lame on his feet from then on. But the interesting thing is, he was an enemy of David's because he was of the household of Saul. He was an enemy of David's. But what did David do? He invited him in, sat him at his table. That old lame Mephibosheth setting his lame feet under the king's table because David cared about people that sat at his gate, and he ministered to them. Important aspect. Daily Bread talked about a father who was praying at dinner, or praying before dinner, and praying for their neighbors. And, you know, this father was just praying for the family, praying for the meal. And he was praying about a neighbor who had some losses and was having trouble keeping going and having trouble keeping up with everything and needed some help. And when the father got through praying, the little boy sitting at the table, he says, "Dad, if I had your wallet, I'd answer that prayer." You know what? God uses you. God uses me a lot of times to answer those prayers. If we're willing to love, if we're willing to share, if we're willing to meet people's needs. We may not have as much as others, we may have less, but we can help. And don't forget, even a cup of cold water, doesn't say any kind of water, cold water, it's got to be quality water if it's from God. Even a cup of cold water will not go without its reward. Doesn't matter what you do to that person to share that's sitting at your gate, big or little, God sees it, and you're going to be rewarded according to that. And God blesses and helps the poor. God blesses and helps people, regardless of their situation. And an amazing truth is, little is much when God is in it. Doesn't have to be big. Little is much. Just a few fish and a few loaves of bread can feed the multitudes. So God, ask God to help you minister to those sitting at the gate of your life. Think about this. I was hungry and you fed me. Yeah. When you do it to this person sitting at your gate, no matter how big it is or how little it is, it's like doing it to Jesus. When did I feed you? Well, I was hungry and you fed me. And as much as you have done this to the least of one of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. Wow. What a privilege to be used by God to hand out to somebody else. Well, Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. He's being blessed. But the rich man is in torment. The rich man had everything under the sun, and now he has nothing beyond the sun. So we have a message from God, and it's too critical to miss. There's a heaven to gain and a Hades to shun. And you know, the interesting thing is that with Abraham and with the rich man and Lazarus there, even though the rich man is now in Hades, you know what his attitude is? He still wants Lazarus to minister to him. He did nothing for Lazarus. Nothing. Except maybe walk by and say, I'm glad I'm not him. He did nothing for Lazarus. And now they're in the presence of God. One's in Abraham's bosom, one's in torment. And the man in torment still expects that Lazarus ought to be ministering to him. Oh, Abraham, send old Lazarus, let him dip his finger in water and come over and cool my tongue because I'm in this torment. Lazarus should have said, hey, buddy, what did you ever do for me? But you know what? I think Lazarus would have gone if he could. Because he was a giver. He may have been poor. He may have been miserable. He may have had nothing, but he was a giver. But he couldn't go. It was too late. But what an attitude this rich guy still expects that Lazarus ought to be ministering to him. Aren't some people just like that? And even in hell, he doesn't seem to get over it. Doesn't sound like he's going to get over it. Send Lazarus. And I don't think this is a parable because it uses proper names, but even if it was a parable, there's lots of other teaching on this subject. So we have two men, rich and poor. We have two destinies, paradise and Hades. We have two conditions, comfort and torment. And we have two requests. Send Lazarus to minister to me. But you know what his other request is? Hey, send Lazarus to my five brothers, lest they come to this place. Can you believe it? The guy becomes a missionary in hell. Really? All of a sudden he's in Hades, he's in torment, but now he becomes a missionary. What's the problem? It's a little bit late. If you're going to do your missionary work, you better do it now. If you're going to minister to somebody sitting at your gate, you better do it now. Or it'll be too late. Send this guy to my brothers, lest they come to this place. Help me, help my brothers. Too late. Oh, he says, Send Lazarus, because they will hear someone who comes from the dead. Oh, would they? Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus comes to people. Do they hear him? No. And the word says, oh, they have enough. They have two witnesses. They have Moses and the prophets, verse 29 to 31. We have more than that. We have Moses and the prophets and Jesus and the New Testament and the indwelling Spirit and the church. Should we hear? Should people hear today? There's lots of witnesses. But will people hear, even though one raises from the dead? No. In Oregon, we were in a farming community, and I remember talking to this farmer about, sure be great if you come to church and and be with us and think about the Lord. And he says, well, you know what? I've got some things to do with my fences, and I got some things to do with my animals, and I have some things to do with my barn, and then I'll come to church. You know what? He never made it. Because there was always another fence. There was always another coat of paint. There was always something to do to the animals. And they were all more important than God. He never made it. He's with the rich man now. In Hades. Who will hear God? Though he rose from the dead, has risen from the dead, and has come to share with us, and has come to speak to us, who will hear him? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. He says, hear him, hear him. And man says, tomorrow, tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. Today, if you will hear his voice. So don't push God out to enlarge what you want inside your gate. Bring God in. Make that decision that whatever happens today, tomorrow, you're not going to push God out. You're going to bring him in. Don't leave him outside. He stands at the door and knocks. Any man opens the door, he will come in. Let him come in. Enlarge your life. Enlarge your heart. Let God come in. He's there. He stands at the door. He wants in. It's not too late for us. We still have the opportunity to know God and serve others. To know God and to remember what he said about being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Enlarge your heart, enlarge your life, enlarge your gate and those who sit around your gate and bring them in and let God minister to you and let God minister to others and do be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for that labor is not in vain. Someone said, you can't take it with you. But that depends on what you're talking about. There are some things you can take with you. There are some things you will take with you. You know what it is? Everything you do for God. Now, we can't take the material things. They would look goofy in heaven anyway, because what's in heaven is so much better. And like the guy that wanted to be buried with his sports car, you know. What in the world would you do with a sports car in heaven, for pity's sake, when you can travel at the speed of thought? But anyway, you can take it with you. You can take with you those you minister to at your gate, those that you love and share and care about, and those that you become a person who is a giver to. You know, every bit of that, even a cup of cold water, every bit of that is going to heaven with you. Isn't that great? So make the right choices. There's two guys. One made the right choice, one made the wrong choice. You see the blessing, you see the results, you see the request, you see what happened, you see how God met Lazarus's need. So think about the choices you're going to make. Think about how God wants to make you even more of a giver than you are. even more of a blessing than you are, even more of a God-like person than you are, even more of a caring, compassionate soul because Jesus touches your heart. God wants to enlarge your gate. God wants you to minister to those all around you, wherever it is, your family, your neighbors, everybody you have an opportunity to influence. Let God touch you to bless them for Jesus' sake. Lord, guide us. How much you have shared, Father. You give and you give and you give. There's no end to it. We can't even begin to imagine the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. You are such a vast giver. You are such a loving being. And you're our God, you're our Father, and you love us. So, Father, let us open our hearts to be touched by God, to minister to those around us, and to share the great vastness of your wealth. Use us, we pray, Lord, to the ends of the world for the glory of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.